Good morning and Merry Christmas to everybody. Oh me, I heard you thank Pam and H. Lee, but we'll do that again. We thank you for letting us be here, for using your place of business. Please stay and have lunch. Ann puts to support them, like H. Lee needs support. Stay because the food's good. You get to visit with some friends. And it's cheaper than a McDonald's burger and fries and a milkshake. $6.50, isn't it? What are we having today? Everybody else got a bulletin. We got a menu. Pork loin. Everybody will enjoy that but the pig. We'll have a good time. I can get Abraham to eat pork loin. All right. I'm telling you. Thank you for the singing. How beautiful that was this morning. We appreciate that. Say, Donnie and Susie Trexler. Did you see what Donnie did? That's what he does when they go out on the road. He's Donnie and Susie. He sits over and says, "Isn't she good?" Hello. I hear you. I laugh. I was listening to you sing. It was so beautiful. I said, "Well, I see why they didn't have them at the manger." Susie be telling the little drummer boy, "Give me something with a backbeat." And I said, "We can't do that." My goodness. We thank you for the gifts and cards that you've given and sent. We really appreciate that at our house. And for those who didn't get a gift yet, you got 3 days to get you a little something in there. Anyway, don't you be forgetting like you did last year, some of you. Come tell me how sorry they were to forget. Don't tell me you sorry you forgot unless you brought something with you when you tell me. I'm sorry I'm late. It's one thing. I forgot. It's quite another. We thank you so much. Your presence is my present, I promise you. Bible study's already told you about. We're glad you're there. D-Day got a beautiful card he gave me. And he said, "This is for Tim." And we like that. And he wrote something pretty in there. Said, "Tim, we all miss you dearly. This year you're spending Christmas with the person that this day is all about. May he bless you and don't forget about us who haven't got there yet. Ask him to prepare room for all of us." Church of the Lost and Found, D-Day wrote that. And on the back said, "Tim, when you get your new bicycle with the wings, please come down and visit with us." So we'll treasure that, and that's wonderful to have. And Mr. and Ms. Cox just came in from Winston-Salem. They'd been up near there to celebrate Christmas with part of their family. Said to cut on the television out of Winston-Salem, and little Frankie was on, playing the piano at one of the local department stores. And they had him down playing a big Steinway. He had never played one before, and they said it would be all right if he played. And Sylvia has learned from Ann. You know, she'll get your attention. "Bush, just a minute. Well, at least call him president. They'll just get what they want." And so she got hold of him and said, they said, "Yeah, we'll let him play." And he began playing, and a crowd drew, and they started crying. The report came to me, people standing around crying, and said, "This just made our Christmas, seeing that little boy play." And he is so wonderful. And we got a report from his mother, said that he was wanted to go to church. He was in the hospital. Is he still there? He's home now, isn't he? And he just had to go to the church he loves to go so much, and said, "Please let me go to church." So they hooked up his IV and got it in the van you gave him, and went to church. And he played the Christmas songs like we had here for him on the piano, as he always does. Then he gave his testimony. And he'll stand up and tell you how he got saved and how he loves the Lord. This little boy, now he's 11 years old. For those who don't know, he's got cystic fibrosis and seven of the other worst diseases you can name. And so he's telling them all this and giving his little testimony. And then he said, "I'm not mad that I have cystic fibrosis. Because if I didn't have cystic fibrosis, Dr. Taylor would have never got saved." I said, "Whoa, my goodness. Here's a child that knows more about Christianity than most theologians I've ever heard." What he was talking about is Dr. Taylor is one of his doctors, and was last year came in and said, talking to him about his illness and trying to tell him how serious it was so he'd know. And Frankie just looks at him. He knows how serious it is. He said, I've got to go to church Sunday. And he said, son, you can't go Sunday. You're going to be here for a few days. And he said, no. I got to go Sunday. He said, well, it's impossible. He said, well, we're going to have to do something about possible because I'm going to church Sunday. He said, well, what's so important about you being in church this Sunday? He said, well, I was lost and I got found and now I got to get baptized. Well, Dr. Taylor didn't know and kind of chided him and said, well, I'm sorry you were lost and I'm glad they found you, but you're not going to church Sunday. And Frankie didn't laugh. He looked at him and said, mister, don't you know who Jesus is? And the doctor got right quiet. He said, don't you know what he can do? He said, I'm going to be healed either here or there, but I'll be healed. And I just got saved the other day, and I'm going Sunday to get baptized because I've got to be a preacher. And I've got to hurry because I don't have much time. And I'm going to church Sunday. Well, he went to church Sunday. They wrapped him up in his IV and they baptized him. He came back the next Thursday, I think it was, to see the doctor again. And the doctor came in crying, said, thank you, Frankie, for preaching to me. He said, well, what do you mean? He said, I was lost and now I'm found. He went and found a preacher. I said, whoa, me, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, see. That kid knows more about Christianity than most of the preachers I've heard preach. Oh, it's amazing, isn't it? You brought your Bible this morning. We're here to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we've preached for the last couple of Sundays about how the birth went about. We're here to tell you that that little baby in that manger was the only way to heaven and the only way to God. And he was God. And this morning we're going to go from John 14:6. If you brought a Bible, John 14:6. And we'll read the scripture and then we'll pray and then expound upon it. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that can meet in the name of Jesus this morning. What a beautiful day you've given us, a beautiful place to meet. We thank those who make that possible. Ask that you have traveling mercies on those who couldn't be here. The members of our family are gone to see their family, gone to see friends, and we thank you to keep them safe and bring them back to us safely. We thank you for those who bothered to come out this morning, awful easy just to stay home. This is voluntary. And we thank you that they volunteered to come and hear about the Savior on the day we celebrate of his birth, the week that we're going to celebrate coming up. We thank you that we can gather and can preach your word, Lord, for where would we be without it? We thank you for little Frankie and little Bradley and Keith and Sylvia and the testimony they give and the example they are and all that we've learned from them simply because we know them. Thank you for sending them our way. Thank you that we could learn to give of what you've given us back to them, that they could have a little bit easier life and a better life, and we could take part in helping those two kids and that family who didn't know us. We never get over the miracle of how they found us and the miracle of how we found them. Thank you for these good people who give of their hard-earned money to help those families. This morning I'd ask that you remove me from this place as always, that you be heard. That anything that I say that should be forgotten, please make it be. And that should be remembered, please have it be. That your son be glorified and the church be edified. And the man who is near his tail be saved. In Christ Jesus' name we pray and for his sake, amen. There's no part of Christianity and the doctrine that we teach that comes under fire from other religions and atheists and agnostics and the rest of them than the one we're going to talk about this morning, and that's the exclusivity of Christianity. You see, we're coming under fire now because we've come into an age of pluralism where everybody's included, and you will hear the term spirituality more in the next few years than you've ever heard it before. Because the word spiritual, being spiritual, applies to anything. A witch doctor is very spiritual. And you will hear about spirituality instead of hearing about Christ, and you'll hear about including everyone under God's love, and they leave out that that's a matter of choice. Everyone's not included in God's love. Everyone is available and has the right to come under the umbrella of being a child of God. But until you know Him, you're simply a creature of God, and don't ever forget it. And the religions of the world who now put up with us will try to get us to join them, and we are going to end up being the bad guys. Make no mistake about that. We will be ending up being those who won't join in with everybody else. We are the non-tolerant. We are those who are arrogant in our beliefs and think we have the only way to heaven. Well, you pegged us pretty right, because that's who we are. And the verse that we just read, when you read that, read it very carefully and slow up on the ways. I am the way, not a way. I am the truth, not part of it. I am the life. He's the only one that possesses Zoe life, the life of God, that He can pass it on to you. Buddhism came and they're actually atheistic. They have no God. Muhammad came and spread his gospel by the sword, not by love. Confucius came and he spread his wisdom, so-called. And that was the way. But the Bethlehem baby is the only one who came and said and proved he could atone for sin. No other religion in the world can atone for sin. No other religion in the world has a founder who claims he was deity and then proved it. No other religion in the world has a savior who died for his people and rose again from the dead. We're unique in every way. Well, you're not very tolerant. Tolerance is for people who have no convictions. I happen to have some. John 3:16, probably the most familiar verse of Scripture, reads, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And here from the beginning, which is the gospel in a capsule, and if that's all you had of the Scripture, if that's all you knew and the only inspired word of God you had ever received was that, it's more than enough to save a world. It's more than enough to forgive the sin, and it's more than enough to give you everlasting life. But underline the only. He's not one of many sons of God. He's not one of many prophets. He is the only begotten, which means the unique Son of God, the monogenes, the singular generation. He is the only begotten Son of God, and when He claimed to be that, His own people wanted to stone Him, for they ripped their clothing and put ashes on their head and said, "You've heard Him. He's claiming He was deity. He's claiming equality with God. He has blasphemed. We need not hear Him anymore. Stone Him." Isn't it sad that the Jew understood His claim to deity, and most of the Protestants haven't understood that yet? So we look at the baby of Bethlehem, and he doesn't lie there long, but lives his sinful life and laid down on a cross that he grew, dropped in a hole in the ground that he created, and shed the blood of God for your sins and mine, for he was the only one who could do that. Had he not been born of a virgin, he would be a man. Had he been a man, he would have a propensity to sin. Had he had just the blood of man, then that blood would have been tainted with sin. But he had the blood of God. Turn to Acts 20:28 when you get home and read it. He purchased the church with his blood. It says God did. You'll search forever to find out where God got any blood, because God's spirit, God's blood flowed in the veins of his only begotten Son. And it was the blood of God that was shed on Calvary's cross. And it was the blood of God that paid for my sin and yours. And he was the only one with the authority to lay down his life in that manner and to purchase my salvation, the only one. John 6:68 says that Simon Peter was talking and answered the Lord and said, "Well, Lord, who shall we go to?" The Lord had just talked to him, and a bunch of people had just left. The Bible said they decided to walk with him no more. They couldn't accept a hard saying he had given. And they left. And he didn't say, "Please come back. We've got to pay for this building." He said, "Look, let them go." And looked his disciples in the eye and said, "You going with them? You want to go too? I didn't need you when I came. I came because I loved you. I don't need you to go on and rule the universe. I can do it without you. There is nothing you can add to me. I came to add to you. You want to go too?" And Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Who are we going to go to? What will they tell us that will help? You're the only one that can save. You're the only one who can do it. Why would we go to some other religion? Why would we go to some other teacher who doesn't have the words of life? That wouldn't make any sense. If we don't understand your hard sayings, we'll stay with you. You'll make them plain enough later." Attaboy, Peter. See the difference between the conservative and the liberal? The liberal says, "I'll wait till I find out, and then I'll accept." And the current conservative says, "I will accept that which I don't understand, and when he wants me to know, he shall tell me." Well, is that a big difference? It's the big difference on getting on the bus now and missing it later is the difference. You can get on the bus now, not know where it's going, and you're still on the bus and you got a ride. But just because you don't know where it's going and don't know the driver, so you wait for the next bus and there's no other bus, then you're left behind. "Well, I don't understand what God means." You can hardly explain to somebody how to tie their shoe, let alone understand what God means. I love Ray Comfort in the Bible. We give out at Bible study now. He gives the illustration when talking to somebody who thinks they just might be enlightened. He'll draw a circle and say, "Let's assume all intelligence, all knowledge is contained within that circle. Your intelligence and that of everyone you ever met may put a dot in that circle the size of a pinhead. I doubt it. That would be generous. And for you to question God is beyond absurdity." Just like the little boys who come down in the summer and you see them throwing the seashells trying to reach the line out there. "Well, I almost threw one across it this time, Daddy." "Yeah, you did. You threw it way out there with no idea that water covers 3/5 the earth." And when we look at God's knowledge and his wisdom and just what he's revealed, how in the world can anybody be arrogant enough to think they have sense enough to argue with him? And to deny him is to die in your sins. John 8:24 said, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins if ye believe not that I am." that I am doesn't mean that you believe that I'm standing here, that you believe I'm alive, that you believe I'm a person. That is the Yehuvistic, Jehovah. That's the Yehuvistic Hebrew I am of the Old Testament when Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me?" The answer from the bush came, "You tell them I am sent you." Didn't say I was, I is, I gonna be. He said, "You tell them I am sent you." I am is the self-existent one. He who needs no one else. He who exists in the universe he created and can do it without you and do it without me. And so Jesus is saying, I'm going to tell you one more time that if you don't believe I am deity, if you don't believe I am God in the flesh, if you do not believe I am the great I am, you shall die in your sins. He's claiming exclusivity. Well, I'll be good and be a whateverist. Won't matter. I'll act right and I'll join this religion. It has nothing to do with the way you act. Well, I know people who are atheists who have more manners, are more gracious, and more kind to some Christians I know. Don't judge the shepherd by some of his sheep. Tell me something bad about God. Tell me something wrong he did. Find an error in his son. Find sin in him. Find another way or another leader who claims that he can forgive your sins. Follow him. You live long enough, you'll live long enough to go to his funeral and find out he's a fraud. If you follow the Christ, as those who he's talking to here 2,000 years ago, the day he gave up his life on the cross and they buried him, what sadness came to these people. These very people he was talking to, what sadness came to them when they said, "We were sure this was the Messiah. We just knew he was finally here, and we followed him and have given up all to follow him, and now today we saw him die and our hopes are dashed and it's over." That was Friday. Hold on, Sunday's coming. And the devil cheered, but it's Friday. Sunday's coming. The religious leaders of that day said, "See, just another false religious man. A lot of charisma about him, had a lot of people following him, did a few tricks. Just, he's dead." Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. And the day he resurrected from the grave should have made the whole world understand who he was. It should have made them understand this is the only Savior. This is the only way. This is the only one. John 10:1 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." The sheepfold was a place, is a round thing where they put the sheep at night. The shepherd would sit in the door. That's why he had used the illustration, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the door," he would say. "And no man, unless he comes by me, is going to enter," because that shepherd would sit in that doorway and put his back against this wall and his knees up and his feet against this wall, and he'd have his staff and his crook with him, rod and his staff with him, and he would be blocking the entrance that if any sheep tried to get out, he'd wake him up. And if any animal or man tried to come in to steal the sheep, they had to go by him. And that was the only way in, to go by the shepherd. Exclusivity. Oh, you could climb up the sheepfold wall and jump in and try to get your sheep back out, but he tells you what you are. If you don't come by the door of the sheepfold, if you don't come by the great shepherd, but you climb up some other way, you're a thief and a robber. And any so-called religion who tries to climb to heaven any other way except by the great shepherd is a thief and a robber and trying to steal falsely their way into heaven. And they're not going to get there. And it's not a joyous thing, and it's not a na-na-na-na-na, I told you so. It's a sad thing. How sad that a handful of people on this earth believe in the Savior. See, we're brought up in a nation that used to be called Christian. By the way, we are the first generation in the post-Christian era. We're living in an America that more people are not Christian than are. First generation, did we do good? And all we've heard is the church, and all we've heard is Jesus, and all we've heard is Christianity. And whether we accept it or not, that's all we heard, and that's what we're used to. But please understand, most of the world didn't like that. They've heard other religions and other ways and other philosophies, and they're living under those false premises, only to find out that that's not the way. Boy, that's kind of narrow. Yes, it is. In fact, the book said it was. Wasn't it? Narrow is the way. Wide is the way to destruction. So, well, that isn't fair. Nobody said it would fair. No, they said it'd be true. Well, what about somebody just because they didn't hear of Jesus? This book tells me that if you want to find the truth, he'll send it to you. I don't know how. He didn't say how. He didn't say how he'd get it to the backwoods of Guatemala, but if you seek the Lord, he'll send it to you. He may send an angel. I don't know. He may reveal it to you by coming to you at night in your visions. I don't know, but he will get the truth to anybody who seeks it. He always has. He got it to Moses on the backside of the desert. He said, set my people free. He got it to Abraham and said, I'm going to make a nation of you. Come on, all you got to do is follow me. Where are we going? Don't ask questions. You want to go or not? Believe we will. And he'll get it to you. I run into people now and then, and you ask them about their salvation situation. Well, I'm still seeking. I said, that's interesting. Where are you looking today? Well, I hadn't looked today. How about yesterday? Where'd you look? Oh, well, yesterday I was busy. What about last week? Last year? Don't lie to me. You ain't seeking anything. You seeking a way to stay like you are and avoid the Savior. I didn't fall off an okra truck. He said, if you're going to rob, you're not going to rob me. Because I sit in the doorway, and you'll come to heaven. You'll come by way of my cross. And when you come by it, you'll shake it and it'll wake me up. I'm going to keep my eye on it. You're not going to come in this door if you don't know me. It's an exclusive club. It's a narrow way. And few there be that find it. Acts 4:12 will tell you, neither is there salvation in any other. That's exclusive, isn't it? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus was named before he was born. The angel came and said, his name will be Jesus. His name will be Emmanuel. It will be God with us. Make no mistake about that. I mean, had he been born a little girl, we'd have been in trouble from the beginning, wouldn't we? Because he wouldn't have been the little boy in the manger. He wouldn't have been named Jesus. He wouldn't have been the Savior, would he? We would have had to look for another, would we not? But he said, no. There's salvation in none other but me. I will send the Savior, the Messiah, God's Christ. I will send Jesus. The meaning of the name is he who saves his people. Came to seek and to save the lost. That was his purpose. That particular time in history, when everything was just right, he came and brought the good news that we celebrate, that Jesus indeed saves. brought the gospel and showed mankind a way out simply because he loved us. And there's no other way, although they've been trying to make ways ever since he came and before he came. Find a new way. Acts 15:11 says, "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they." When you see his name given, the Lord Jesus Christ, that covers it all. The Lord, he means God. That's Yahweh. Jesus is he who saves, who came to save his people. And Christ is the Messiah. That's the whole thing. Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you're saying when you call him that. And that's who he is. And that's the whole theology of it. If he is not Lord, if he's not God, he can't save you. If he came and wasn't deity and claimed that he could save, then he was a liar. If he came and under the banner of his name Jesus, that he came to save the people and said, "I am the Messiah, I am the Christ for which you look," then he was a liar and a cheat, because he had forged the name of Christ. He wasn't the Christ. If he wasn't one of these, he wasn't any of them. And if he was one of those, he was all three. And the only one that could possibly be. It's exclusive. Acts 16:31 said, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." You remember the story, told the jailer. Door opened, he was going to kill himself because they were going to run out. And if the prisoners got loose, the Romans had a good way to make you a good policeman. If you lost a prisoner, they killed you. That'll keep you awake. And so he didn't know what to do, and the door opened and the chains fell off. And he wakes up and says, "What's going on?" And gets a sword and is ready to kill himself. And they said, "No, no, 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 don't do that. All the prisoners are here. We didn't go anywhere. We just want you to know that you hadn't got us. We've got you. We can go anytime we want to. We can't lose anything here. You can lose your life here. All we got to do is escape." And he said, "Well, I need to get on this. I need to get on your side. What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Didn't tell him to get a church bulletin, find out next baptismal service. Didn't tell him to be sure at communion, because if you don't take communion, you're going to die. Didn't say you need to do this and do that and pull on that and count that and be this and be that. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." You put your faith in him, you'll be all right. You put your faith in things, you will die without him. We've already covered that. You die without him, you'll die in your sins. 1 Corinthians, they asked Paul. Paul was a genius. Paul was a Jew of the Jews. He was a zealot. He went from town to town. He got special permit to kill Christians, because he was a Jew's Jew. He lived by the law. He kept it almost perfectly. He said he kept it perfectly. He said, "You want to see a Jew? You're looking at one. I'll not only get rid of this crazy religious group and this rabble-rousers, I'll not only kill them here in Jerusalem, give me permission to go other places. I'll cross the county line. Let me go to another state. Let me go wherever they are. Give me the permission to go, and you won't worry about them long. If they're going to destroy my religion, I'll kill them." And he did. And he did. Then he was met by the Savior on the road to Damascus. Completely changed his life. He turned completely along. And then they asked him, "Well, what about your theology, and what about all this you know, and you're such a mighty man of the scriptures, and your brain power almost drove the king crazy. How are we going to learn what you know? And he said, I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What he's saying, I know his person and I know his purpose. I know his person because I know he's God. I know his purpose because I've been saved and he's taught me to go and tell the story to others. I know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Debate the other if you will, but if you miss Jesus Christ and him crucified, you missed it all. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And your religion stands on what foundation, sir? Well, we believe that Muhammad, boing, gong show. Bring the hook, get him off the stage. And you, sir, are basing, I'm basing it on the wisdom of Confucian. Boing, on Confucius. Confucian was right. Confucius, boom, gong. Well, you see, I'm a peaceful Buddhist, and I'm trying to reach. Boom! I'm a Hindu. I'm trying to reach nirvana. I'm ignorant. What's nirvana? The state of nothingness. You've already reached it. Boom! You say, and line them up. Bring you false religions and bring you false gods. And Jesus got the gong show saying, bong, next. Bong, next. One way, one Savior, one Christ, one death, one blood, one burial, one resurrection, and one coming King. Don't ever forget it. There's only one. No other foundation. Any man laid, and that's laid, which is Christ Jesus. And I love Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. One. Singular, one God. Singular, one mediator. Singular, one man. The man Christ Jesus. If you pray into a statue, boom. If you pray into the mother of Jesus, God bless her for the work she did, boom. If you're paying to or through any religious figure, boom. To or through a saint, boom. There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. End of it. There weren't twins in the manger. There was one little baby. There weren't three people who died on the cross. There was one who died. The other two were in trouble. And the last thing Jesus did was witness to one came with him. I ought to tell you something about being at Bible class, learning how to share your faith. It's the last thing Jesus did before he left this earth was to share the faith. It's not a game. It's not an organization. It's not a ritual. It's a person. And this year we give gifts, and some years you get more gifts than others, and some years there's no money and no gifts, and some years there's a lot of money and a lot of gifts. And never forget, the gift is just representative of the gift given by Jesus, by God, when he gave us Jesus. Greatest gift ever given, that's what we read at the first. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And boy, it's good when you get a Rolex and a new car, and it's good if Christmas time you purchase the new home, and God bless you and thank him for making that available to you. But it doesn't matter what you wrap it in, you'll not beat that little gift in swaddling clothes. It doesn't matter if you win the lottery. What's it up to now, gang? $350 million or something? It doesn't matter. You won't beat the gift that laid in the hay trough. You say, I know, but did he give it to me? Do you know if there'd just been one person to receive a gift, he'd have still given you a gift, and it would have been the same gift, and it would have been for you. You say, this one God and this one Savior and this one way and this one blood, all of that was for one man. If there'd just been one who sinned, it was. Well, I can't understand that. I can't either. So if you're trying to follow something that'll make you worthy, forget that. If you're trying to build up your self-esteem, you don't have any. If you're waiting till you become somebody, you're not somebody. If you don't know the Savior, you're in trouble and on your way to hell. But God so loved the world, he said, I can't stand that. And I would rather go to the cross for them than go home without them. He had a choice to make. He could have said, my Father, I'm sorry. We talked this over and all, and I knew what was coming. But I've been thinking about this thing, and if you're going to lay all the sins of the world on my back, that pain, I'm not going to be able to suffer. And I'd like to come on home, just leave them on their own. Bam, it'd have been done. But the Bible says, for the joy set before him. The announcement that you're going to be crucified at 9 o'clock wouldn't bring much joy, would it? But to him it did. Why did he do that? Well, we used to sing a little gospel choir, a song when I was in the booster choir, we called it, in my daddy's tent meetings, and my mama would lead the singing of us little kids, and we'd get together, and one of the little gospel songs we'd sing is, Why Does He Love Me So? And you may never have heard it. And it was just one little song, you know, little ones they teach us, little kiddies, and it went, Why Does He Love Me So? Oh, why did he love me so? Why did my Savior to Calvary go? Why did he love me so? And we sang it, didn't think much of it. We got ice cream for singing. That's what we were interested in. And you grow older and hear the gospel and hear the preachers and you begin to think, and then you become a theologian. And begin to think maybe you understand some of this, and maybe that you're understanding a little more of the mind of God, and you study and you study and study and study, and then at the age of 65, you sit in the dark with a Christmas tree light on. See that baby in a manger. Tears in your eyes. Look at it. So I was lost. Now I'm found. Why did he love me so? And if you don't know that this Christmas, boy, what a Christmas you can have. What a gift you can get. What a holiday this will be, and a day of remembrance you'll never forget as long as you live. And if you accept him, that will be forever. And then you can wonder and study and learn and have tears in your eyes and never come to the answer like I've yet to not come to it. Why did he love me so? Why did he even care? The answer to the question is in the question. Because he loved you so. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving me, for caring for me. And I'll tell the story if you let me. And I'll try to let people know you love them if you let me. And I read and tried to find out how to tell the story. Sometimes I get the English wrong, and sometimes the speech slurs and the words are stuttering, and sometimes your thoughts aren't as they should be, but very plainly I understood He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father but by me, said Jesus. And if you never understood anything, and no illustrations and no poor sermons that I ever gave, understand He loves you so. And that baby grew and lived a sinless life and was condemned and gave up his life on Calvary's cross and bore the sins of the world as a Christmas present to you. You have a Merry Christmas. Those of you who know Him are celebrating what you know inside. Those of you who don't, you really shouldn't even be celebrating our holiday. Why don't you join up with us and ask the Savior to forgive your sins, become a member of the family of God? Then you'll have a reason to light a tree and a reason to give a gift, because you received the one He gave you. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can look in Your Word and get a picture of You. That we can understand the plainness of it. I don't think there's any difficult theological problem here. We were lost. You made it available that we could be found. You came and searched us and found us and just said, "Won't you go home with me?" I don't understand the difficulty. Your sin debt, would you like to pay it? I'll pay it for you. Would you just like to get on the gospel bus and go home with me? And thank You, somebody told me about it. Thank You that the many here have already received You, but Lord, this morning there's someone here who doesn't know You as personal Lord and Savior. And we're so glad they come and wouldn't run them off and want them here every Sunday. More than welcome. The Lord Jesus, touched their heart today. And let them know at this special season of the year, when we celebrate Your coming as a man, manifesting Yourself as a man, the incarnation, putting on flesh, that You came for one purpose, to seek and to save the lost. And You gave Your life and shed Your blood that those here who are sinful and have not confessed it to You and repented and walked in a new direction could understand, they too could be forgiven. Thank You. And if there be one here who doesn't know You as Savior, please this morning, as we sing, let them think in just where they are. Silently pray to You and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner by choice. I haven't confessed my sin and I haven't been forgiven, and if I died today, I know full well I wouldn't go home to be with You. But I want to. I want to change that. I don't understand it all, but if You are the Messiah, and I believe You are, please forgive me of my sin and help me walk in the newness of life. And I promise He'll do His part." Thank You, Lord, for what You've done and what You're doing. Give us all a season of safety and a season of joy that we can recognize one more time that You came to seek and to save the lost, and that was us. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for His holy sake, amen.